and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 455. How are we all doing? It's been a bit of a peaceful day here, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah. Just waiting for the other foot to fall, which it will. You've just said, though, that we've got thunderstorms on the way.
That's what it said on the interweb.
Joy of joys. Just what we need. Mind you, if it cools it down, I'm not bothered. I will be a happy little bunny. Hello, Simon! Simon's in first. Whoa! Loving it, Simon. CQ, Deb, CQ. Well, did you update the murder board, Simon? Definitely needed doing, you know, after last night. I checked the footage and got the photos off. Unbelievable. Oh, and you know, I don't think it made news on the M33 group.
No, I can't find it.
Which is amazing because one thing did yesterday, a guy came off his bike apparently. There was a heck of a traffic jam in Sale Moor. They believe he's okay. Ah, fantastic. So, what's everybody been up to? Let us know. We need to know these things. We've got a bit of an installation job, haven't we? Yeah, you know what? You know when your A-lady decides that she's not turning the lights on and off anymore and Mike's totally flummoxed?
That.
Yeah, that, unfortunately. So what's happened is that it looks like the bridge has gone between the bulbs and the A-lady. If you get like Philips Hue bulbs, you're fine. They just connect with the A-lady. As long as you've got an A-lady that has a built-in bridge. But at least if you do that, then the bridge doesn't go. So it's not like an extra bit, but it looks like the bridge has gone. Nothing wrong with the bulbs as long as you turn them on and off. But Mike's been having long conversations with the A-lady about turning them on and off. And the thing is, she thinks she's doing it, but she's not. So I'm like, is it on? I even tried putting the porch one on, you know.
Oh.
Oh, anyway, we'll have to sort that out. Hello, Renee. We've got the football ready. 8 minutes to kick off. It's the Netherlands and who tonight? Ukraine. Yes. We will be shouting for the Netherlands, of course. England actually managed to win a match. I'm still recovering here. Recovering from the shock. They've never won their opening match in the European Championships. Not even in 96, which was a good year. Well, sort of. It wasn't, was it? We did all right in the Euros, but the Manchester bomb happened.
Oh, yeah.
Which we only just managed to avoid. Well, we didn't even totally avoid it. We were lifted off the ground, weren't we, on the way. We were heading in the other direction. So that was good news. But that was happening during the Euros, wasn't it? There was a really good drama about that a while back. Do you remember it? What's his name? The one from Life on Mars. Played Gene Hunt. Oh, what's his name? I know his brother better than him. He does. His brother's also an actor. And he does...
McGann.
McGann. No. His
Philip
brother
Glenister.
Does, Glenister. There's Philip Glenister and his brother. And his brother does the audio narrations for the Robert Galbraith books. And he's fantastic. Love it. He was also in Hustle. His brother, he was the forger in
Robert
Hustle.
Glenister.
Robert, that's the fella. Oh, Renee's ready for it. Excellent. You've got to at least catch up with England now, haven't you? Anyway, this drama was fantastic. It was about people who were caught off in the bomb. But the aftermath wasn't particularly about the bomb. It was like the impact it made on their lives. I think one ended up running off and having an affair. But it was good drama. It must have been written by somebody. You know, like Kay Mellor or somebody like that. It was good, so definitely watch that. So yeah, we always expect to lose. The other thing is, let me know if it's the same in other countries, but you know when there's multiple channels and each channel has like we've got one match and the next channel's got another one. Well, because there's three matches in the initial stages, either the BBC will have two and ITV will have one, or ITV will have two and the BBC will have one. But ITV are worse than useless, aren't they, Mike?
Yep.
We've had adverts played during the middle of the match. That was one year. To say it kicked off was an understatement. Another one, they lost the picture. and we missed a goal. ITV are absolutely useless. And who's the was it Townsend, the commentator? Yeah. You just can't. You've got to turn it off. You cannot listen to this guy. So we put the radio commentary on. But then there was a lag. So we were ahead on the radio and behind on the TV. Nightmare. Nightmare. And the other thing is if all of that isn't bad enough, if England are playing and ITV have got the coverage, we lose. And that has been proven how many times at big events. World Cups, European Championships, you name it. So the first match was on BBC, so hence we won it. The next one will probably be on ITV, so it's all up in the air. But fingers crossed, hey?
Anyway, I'm back.
You're back from what?
From reading the news, but not really.
Oh, right, yes. Mike's been in two places at once again. At least you remembered to go this week.
I managed to schedule it.
If you weren't with us last Sunday, Mike's supposed to do the news at 7 o'clock.
That's the Brooklands news.
The Brooklands news at 7 o'clock. And he, for a couple of weeks, he's pre-recorded it because we had things that we wanted to do at 7 o'clock, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then he's keyed it up. Only last week, he'd done it. It was all recorded and everything. I forgot to key it up. It was about 8 minutes past before you got it live, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's people listening just now.
Yep.
I've just logged into the back end thing.
Yep. So we need to be absolutely certain that it went out today.
Yeah, they could have been listening to ABBA if I've forgotten.
They might not have minded that.
True.
The ABBA dance parties proved very, very popular.
Yeah, I think that's what's playing now.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That's a new one. And that one only started
the
yesterday.
ABBA dance party.
Oh, Red Bubble. What's Red Bubble? Oh, the Wee Donkey. Wee Donkey. Let me see it. Let me see. There's a funny story about the Wee Donkey, isn't there, Kim? Oh, I need that. That's amazing. Oh, yeah, definitely got to have that. Look at Hastings in the middle. Isn't it amazing how they are so caricatures and yet you recognise them? Oh, yeah, the Wee Donkey. I definitely need that. That's what I've been saying about my software today. We've got a project on, and needless to say, the software's not playing ball. This time it's Scrivener that's being naughty. So I don't know whether it would just be easier to actually delete the configuration that I've got and start again. It's that bad. I'll probably have to show you this file. It's very interesting how I put it together. But at the moment, my compile's not working. So not a happy bunny.
The title of the news.
What's the title of the news?
Wiggy Wiggy and the Sleeping Pills.
Yay, Wiggy Wiggy and the Sleeping Pills.
Wiggy Wiggy and the Sleeping Pills.
I couldn't believe that was genuine, and it was.
Yeah.
And when I started the Andante hunt and I found Sleeping Pills, I thought, you couldn't make this up. If you are uninitiated, Kath loves the song Andante Andante, which was originally the B-side of Super Trooper, I think, or one of the singles from Super Trooper. It's also included in Mamma Mia, the film and the musical. And Kath loves the other version of it, which is Lily James. So we were going out every week and there was a lady called Pam with us and she loved Freebird, Lynyrd Skynyrd. The problem with this is it's 9 minutes long and not everybody appreciates it. So the lady with the Freebird, I think that they had like family nights on a Saturday. So I said, well, we'll pick something else. So Kath was like, go pick Andante, Andante. So we did. But then we brought the themes in. So now it has to fit the theme. So it's how do we get Andante, Andante to fit the theme? Oh, we've had some corkers, haven't we? We really have. But last night's theme was sleep. So I thought Andante shouldn't be tricky with sleep. Because Andante means slowly anyway, so I should get away with it. Anyway, I found a mattress, but we'd used the mattress before. I think that was when it was, what would the theme have been? Household? Or night? Anyway, I thought, I can't use the same thing twice. That's not appropriate. So I carried on with my searching, and I found some sleeping pills called Andante. The Andante sleeping pills. So that was how we got it in last night. It was amazing. Enjoyed it. I'm a Google ninja. And Wiggy Wiggy is apparently, that's a Moorism. It comes from the fabulous Moor family who listen every week. our Catanian friends. And when Kaz was young...
Was it Lisa? It was Lisa.
And then Kaz followed her. Lisa's the older one. I always get that the wrong way around. She couldn't, like, say goodnight, so she'd go wiggy wiggy. And that became like, that's what we say to everybody now when we're leaving on a Saturday night. It's like, wiggy wiggy, wiggy wiggy. And Mike found a song called Wiggy Wiggy by Night Noise. So we played that as well. Genius. Genius. Renee Miss Wiggy Wiggy. It was kind of like an Irish jig. It was very folky. Didn't have any lyrics, but it was quite folky. It was nice. So I hope you enjoyed your programme anyway, your looping. You have not seen anything. Obviously, I've not seen it. You know me. And Kim enjoyed the dance party. I picked all of the upbeat ones for that. We'll have to have like an ABBA peace hour, won't we?
Yeah.
Or ABBA the Hidden Gems. That's a good one. The Hidden Gems. But I love ABBA. I love ABBA. So it's never hard to put an ABBA show together. So I said to Mike, we want it to be, you know, because the theme was sleep, which is, you know, quite quiet, etc. And I thought we'll have some really mellow ones. We need a dance party before we start. So ABBA was there for that. Oh, we had fun last night. And we had ice cream as well, didn't we? Quite liking that. I think I'm going to have to order some ice cream this week. It's no good, Mike. It's going to have to happen.
Okay.
We even had a full English today as well. It was almighty hot for a full English. The weather's evil. It's 28 at the moment. I mean, it's been hotter, but, you know, we've had to turn the fan that off and everything. The girl's just lying here. But there again, she did have a good morning, didn't she? What happened? He's totally forgotten us, Mike. Pavement was very warm, so it was a park job. And you needed to drop off a card. Mike went to drop off a card at friend's house, whose birthday it is today, and then went up to Iggy's park.
We met Iggy again.
Iggy. Happy, happy dogs. So what else have we done today? 24 there, Renee. I am hoping if it means like it cools down, I would welcome a thunderstorm. Let's have a look what it says weather-wise. Weather. Where are we? Monday, cloud. Tuesday, sunshine. Wednesday, sunshine. Oh, I am liking Thursday. All the way through to Tuesday, where there's an 80% chance of rain and it's going to be 16 instead of 30-odd. I'm liking that. So I've just got to make it through to Thursday, which may or may not happen with either me or the machine being thrown out of the window, one or the other. On account of the fact I need to fix the software problems. I hate software problems. It's just not good enough. And Scrivener, really. And in the compile settings, because... Compile's one of the most difficult features in Scrivener. But I understand it. I've understood it for years. I programmed it. It is like programming with Compile. I programmed it to output two entire courses. I then programmed it to do the MacBytes output that we've got, including emails, and it was absolutely fine. What I'm trying to do now, just get it to indent. Indent half an inch, not having it. Doesn't want to know. Don't get it.
There's a sight for sore eyes.
What have you got now?
Boris in a pair of shorts.
Oh, my God. Boris in a pair of curtains that have been... Do post that, Mike. I wouldn't want Simon to miss it. Incoming Simon, incoming Boris.
There's another picture here of all the leaders and their other halves from the G7 summit. Social distancing not.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, the R rate has shot up. We're now on for 100,000 cases a day. There's no words for the stupidity of some people. There isn't. Oh, and then we saw everybody at Wembley, and they're supposed to be socially distancing as well, because Wembley holds, is it 80,000 now?
I think it's 100.
It was 100, but that was when they were standing. Although there's three tiers now. Mind you, you're like sardines anyway, aren't you? Well, anyway, there was only 20,000 in there. So there's plenty of room. But they were just jumping up and down, half naked, waving flags and grabbing onto each other when they scored. And I'm just shaking my head. I know in this country, to get into a football match, you do have to have your temperature tested and all the rest of it. But even so, Not the link. We've actually got to have the picture, Mike. We've got to have the picture. I wouldn't want Simon to miss it. Oh, Simon says he has to scroll past new articles about Bongo. So his picture's off the top of the screen. You can't bear to see him. Well, to be fair, Simon, if you just give a quick glance at this one, you can't see much of his face. Obviously, his backside's on view, but in your situation, that's possibly better than his face. So, yeah, I think give it a glance. Just a glance. Oh, Kim says they are having a soaker this weekend. Being wonderful. Good for sleeping. Well, yeah, if all I was trying to do was sleep, but even then it'd be warm. I'm hankering for the time, Mike, when our bedroom was downstairs.
Yeah.
Because Mum and Dad had the upstairs room. And the office was in here and the studio. So the office and studio were upstairs, so we slept downstairs. Oh, it was beautiful. It was so cool. And now it's the dining room.
There you go. There's the link.
Yay, Boris!
Two pictures I've just screenshotted.
Let's have a look. The sight of him running into the sea is just too much wearing those curtains. He'd have been better off wearing her frock. There are no words for it. What is it with him wearing silly shorts like that? Those are the ones he was caught jogging in, if you remember.
Mm.
It's not an edifying sight, is it? I mean, do you remember Neil Kinnock? Neil Kinnock went for a swim in his suit.
Oh, I remember,
with his shoes
he
on.
Fell over, didn't he?
He fell over. And then he gave the press the V's. I think he gave him, like, the middle finger. Oh, I'd have to find that one. Where is it? Neil Kinnock. There must be a video, surely. Let's see if I can find it with that. There's some pictures for him falling over in it. Surely it's on YouTube. Let's have a look at some of these pickies. Yeah, he actually fell in. What was so funny? His wife was like, don't drag me in with you. Neil Kinnock was the opposition leader when Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. So I know you might not know him abroad, but oh, it's funny. Oh, happy, happy memories of that one. He was absolutely... Imagine he shouldn't have been walking on the beach, should he, in his suit and in his shoes and all the rest of it. Ah, oh, there we go. There's Neil Kinnock. There's got to be a video of that. It was the middle finger he gave the press that made me laugh. Let's see if I can find it. Mike, somebody's having a barbie.
Are they?
Oh, no. That's the last thing we need. Right, let's have a look. Neil Kinnock. I'll put one word and see if we find it. Oh, there you go. Was it that first one? Where was he? That's Brighton, isn't it? I think it's Brighton. When was this? This was uploaded in 2007. But this is what politicians used to do, isn't it? Oh, that's just too good. And I love the way the wife just left him to it. There you go. There's the video of the grand event. I hope they get the bit where he gives the middle finger to the press. There we go. Right at the end. Oh, I'm glad to see that again. That's really perked me up. Simon doesn't like suits. You saw a cartoon the other day called The Business Burka. Yeah, but that's what politicians did back then, isn't it? But, you know, what kind of Muppet goes for a photo shoot on the beach with the tide coming in? You know, you'd at least have your trainers on so you could escape. Unbelievable. You got what you deserve with that one. Kim does like giving the middle finger to the press. That was talked about for many, many days, that was. I wonder what year that was. He says it just made a fool of himself. No, doesn't say. People just talking about when it was in Spitting Image and stuff like that. But I just love that. That was really good, that. Oh, the R number in Holland is 0.83 at the moment. You're doing well. You are doing fantastic. Ours is shocking, about 1.5. Hello, Anthony! We are having fun reminiscing about politicians and looking at Bongo in his, well, what can only be described as living room curtains. He does look like that and he gets away with it. But I, honestly, if a woman dared step out looking like that, there's so much pressure on women. And, I mean, do you remember when Theresa May was Prime Minister and she went to visit the other one, the Scottish woman, Nicola Sturgeon? And the paper just had on the front of it comparing their legs. And I think it was something like, legs have it, or something like that. It was just so inappropriate. Let's have a look if I can find it. Theresa May. How did we spell Theresa? Because there's 19 different ways of spelling that. Right, let's try that. And Nicola Sturgeon. I think it was the Mail. That'd be unsurprisingly, I think it could have been the Daily Mail. There we go. That looks like it. Let's do the image thing. There we go. Ah, the Daily Mail. You can always rely on them for a complete farce. There we go. Let's get that uploaded and put that in there. Right, there we go. That's the front of one of our national papers. That's all they could talk about. They're the leaders of two countries, for crying out loud. Can't remember the last time Boris's pins were compared with Macron or Biden or Biden's dog. Ever. Never ever is the answer to the question. It is. It's unbelievable. I guess there is an option that maybe they should have worn something to cover them up. But even so. The Daily Mail's front page of Sturgeon and May sparks outrage. And this was from a paper in Australia, by the look of it. I don't see the story going with it, though, which is unfortunate. But that kind of thing, you know, they should know better. There are no words for that kind of rubbish. Let's see where we're at here. Shall I risk the news? That's always so dangerous. Go on, I'll risk it. Let's see what's going on. It's just legs under a skirt, come on. Well, that's the calibre of our newspapers. Inverted commas. News, in inverted commas, paper. But that's what they talk about. I see we've had an announcement about that player yesterday. He suffered a cardiac arrest, said the doctor. I thought you didn't really need to be a doctor to see that, on account of the fact they were giving him CPR and they had the, what's it on him? The defib. So I didn't think, you know, it was a cold or something. God, I hope they had his permission to give his medical stuff out.
Probably.
Final decision on the 21st of June easing, not yet taken, said Boris. No, because Boris doesn't want to make a decision, but he's got to announce it on Monday, so he needs to be thinking about it. If he lets us open up, he does want locking up. The latest we've heard on whether we would or not, and what it would take not to, is whether the hospitals can cope. Which takes us back to his comment about we'll let the bodies pile high. So as long as the NHS can cope with the number of bodies that is generated by opening up, he'll do it. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. People need protecting from idiots who are going out making it worse. But you've also got people who are saying, like, you know, don't change it, leave it at the 21st. And it's mainly couples who are trying to get married and they say they'll lose thousands if the rules don't change. Well, what did you book a wedding for? What do you book a wedding for in the middle of a global pandemic? Can't you have a smaller wedding?
Could have had it booked for 2 years.
Well, you knew what was going to happen. I certainly wouldn't risk it. I would not have risked that because it's too up in the air. Anything could happen. Anthony says, the Daily Mail is quite a nasty newspaper. They just seem to slag people off for the sake of it. They said Meghan Markle's book was an exact copy of another book called The Bench. The two books are completely different. Even the author of the other book said she couldn't see any similarities other than they featured a bench. Oh, that's it. I mean, that is them. It's exactly the same with this naming thing. The Queen has to approve the name chosen for all the offspring. This is why Beatrice is called Beatrice. Beatrice was not the name they wanted. It took 2.5 weeks for Beatrice's name to be announced because Sarah Ferguson wanted her to be called Annabelle. The Queen did not like Annabelle because there's a nightclub here called Annabelle's and it was like one of the Sloan set. So she wasn't keen on the name Annabelle. So it was in the end she suggested Beatrice and it took them 2.5 weeks to come round to it. So there's no way that that child would have been called Lilibet if she objected. Because she has the power. It's as simple as that. And I just think to myself, if William and Kate had called Charlotte Lilibet, it would have been universally, oh, what a lovely tribute. But because it's Harry and Meghan, there has to be some, oh, did they ask the Queen? That's not on. Of course they asked the Queen. They are legally obliged to ask the Queen. Could the Queen say no? Well, yes, because she did it with her own grandchild. Never mind great-grandchild. But they're not talking about that, are they? They don't like Meghan, and I fail to understand why. I thought when she arrived, she was such a breath of fresh air. It was lovely to see her when she went to visit the Grenfell Tower stuff, and she was in the kitchen making food with them and doing that recipe book. It was fabulous. I don't know why the papers took against the poor woman. You know, he's made his choice. The rest of us have to live with it, whether you like her or not. And why wouldn't you like her? Or you don't even have to like her. Just not be totally against her for no particular reason. But give everybody a chance. I just think, you know, Kate can't do any wrong. But Kate had her moments with the Daily Mail. Do you remember Waity Katie? Because they'd been going out together years. When did he go to university? He was born in 82. So he'd have been 20 in 2002. I think he started university at 19. He had a year out. So it would have been 2001. And by about 2007, it'd been like, oh, they've been going out long enough. Why aren't they getting married? So the papers started calling her Waity Katie. Not Waity as in putting weight on. Waity as in waiting for him to propose. To the point they split up in the end. So she's had her moments with them, but now she's in favour because they can pick on Meghan. Exactly the same thing happened with Diana and Fergie. Diana was being criticised for one thing and another. Fergie came along. Oh, let's pick on her. And then Diana was the archangel. And in the end, the two of them fell out. I'm not surprised. Oh, dear me. Who cares about tradition? Well, it's a royal law, isn't it? They have a name for those. I can't remember. But it's a bit more important than a tradition. But they're not even in this country. I mean, technically, they can do what they want. Here, I guess, if without the permission that they're supposed to get, they might not be able to register the birth. But in America, they do what they like. Really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But the papers have to create over it. Give them something to go on about. And anyway, it's going to be known as Lily, isn't it? That's just an official name. If we're going to get technical, Harry's called Henry. God, isn't life complicated when you're a royal?
I'm called Michael.
Can you not just have a name?
Or Mikey.
Yeah, but you, when you sign your signature, it's Mike.
Yeah.
It's not Michael. No. And anywhere that you can get away with it, so unless it's actually something that legally has to have your full name on, you put Mike anyway. You register places as Mike.
And you're Lola, sometimes called Bear.
Lola the Bear.
Lola
and
Bear.
All her surnames, all her associated surnames. She's got 5 surnames, hasn't she, with our 2?
She has.
Bless. That's almost one of them.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, let's carry on here. I don't care what they call the thing either, Simon. And I think they're just happy that it's healthy. Shame the papers can't think like that, isn't it? Renee's installed some. What have you installed, Renee? Let us know. Poor Kim. Tired of Meghan and Harry being on the news. You've got no interest. That's it. I mean, they've gone there, they say, for privacy. But the papers are still hounding them. They'll never stop. They will never stop that. That's just the British press. They have to have somebody they can build up. And if they've got somebody at the same time that they can then drag down, then they will. and they'll be happy about doing it. Simple as that. They just can't stop themselves. I mean, you've seen the kind of tripe that's on the front of them, comparing women's legs. I mean, it is disgusting. All over the press this weekend is a young lady. I would say she's somewhere 20 to 25, something like that. And she was cycling. I presume this is on the road in London. And a guy in like a Chelsea tractor, which is like a people carrier, pulled up alongside or was behind her, and he shouted out the window to her, "With a backside like that, you'll cause an accident." Well, she went mental. She caught up with him when he got stuck at the lights. She caught up with him. And by this stage, she must have had her phone in her hand, pointing at him, recording him. And she said, "You're going to say that again then?" And he was like, "Say what?" And she said, go on, say it now. Anyway, she told him, exactly, Lola. She told him he was completely disgusting and perverted, I think. I forget the exact words, but that was the gist of it. And it's gone viral. She did blur his face out. I don't think I would have done. I think I'd have shown everybody who he was. Because people might think that that's harmless, but it's not. It puts you in fear. You know, what if he then stopped and got out? How would she know that he wasn't going to? And, you know, how would he feel if somebody else was saying that to his daughter or his sister or his mother? I know to men it's like it all a bit of a joke. You look a complete knob, man. You really do. Like a little boy. And if you think about it, that's sexual harassment just on the street. I actually watched a video today, and it's this History Channel. And because it's Gay Pride Month, they're doing like the history of Pride going back to like Stonewall and is it Harvey Milk. So they're doing all kinds of things from there. And this one was about a legal defence. And it wasn't that long ago. It was after 2000. It was within the last 20 years. And this guy stabbed his best friend to death. And when they charged him, it was like, "Well, you know, what did you do that for?" He said he tried to kiss him. That his best friend was gay and he tried to kiss him. So the defence became known as like the gay fear defence. Gay, what do they call it? But that was the gist of it. You know, that if somebody comes onto you and you happen to be straight, your defence is, well, they came onto you. Well, so what? What about this woman on the street? Get used to it. Women have that morning, noon and night. So get used to it. But these people actually got off. And she listed cases that had happened in the States. And every one of them had got off with what they'd done. Based on this gay fear defence. This one was unbelievable. She reeled them off. And one was a girl who was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. Because she was gay. Another one was a bloke. I think he was again stabbed to death. Another one. I mean, what had actually happened was nothing. And these defences were accepted. Anyway, what's happened since then? They've outlawed these defences in the States. And I'm thinking, I don't think that would happen here. Because we have what we call common law. So if a judge declares that's utterly ludicrous, then it doesn't happen. You can't use it anyway, whether there's actually a statute saying you can't or not. But I just think when they reeled off what the accused person, well, the dead person at this stage, what the victim was supposed to have done, I thought, well, that was less than this guy in the car who shouted at this woman. Just unbelievable. But apparently it's a thing in the States. So 20 states have now said you can't use that as a defence. What we tend to do is tell you what you can use as a defence. So something like provocation would be a defence. Coercive control would be a defence. But we don't tend to have it where you just come up randomly with your own defences. That doesn't work. It's got to be a legitimate defence. If it doesn't fit into the statutes, then it's not a defence. Unbelievable. And the crimes weren't just like, I mean, imagine like this one that got stabbed. if that girl had have turned around and said, I feel threatened by you, you know, making suggestions to me on the street, so I have the right to stab you to death, people would be up in arms. But nobody thought the same because the victims were gay, which is like unbelievable. And if it was the 50s or 60s, but not in this millennia, but it is apparently. Right, let's have a look where we're going here. Clear VPN, that's a good one, Renee, because you'll be able to get to iPlayer with that. Clean My Mac, which I know got you a lot of stuff there. That is good. Got you a lot of space back, didn't it? Right, let me carry on up here. So Tony says, not put anything else on. With the Mac cleaner and the shelf thing, that's about it. After Mike yesterday about RAM and all of that, the Mac is an 8 and the MacBook is 16. So the Costco bargain wasn't as good as you thought it was. What size is it, Tony? Is it a 27-inch iMac? Time for a new one. Well, it probably wouldn't have that much more if you get the newer one anyway. But if it's a 27, I can't remember. But if it's a 27, you can upgrade the RAM yourself. That would be much cheaper. CNN contributor that was caught mast on Zoom last year was paid full time and is now back at... You're joking, Kim! I thought they'd actually sacked him, or he had quit. Oh, that's just disgusting. There are no words for that. I mean, because it's not what he actually did per se, or whether anybody was, you know, mortally offended by what he did. It's the lack of judgment doing it showed him to have that was the problem. You know, if he has a lack of judgment on that, he could have a lack of judgment on anything. Oh, that is unbelievable. I thought we wouldn't hear another word from him. Somebody mentioned it that the other day. It was in relation to, like, you know, what not to do on Zoom. I've forgotten his name now. No, but then he wasn't a big star over here until that event, Kim. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, right, him. But we didn't know him before then. Oh, dear. Right. Okay, I'm catching up. Can you imagine how many men in bars would be murdered if it stood for heterosexual engagements? That's exactly the point, Simon. I mean, guys say the most stupid things to women. They honestly do. I remember being at a concert and I gave this guy as good as he gave me. Like, you idiot. You know, it was a huge concert, outdoor thing. It was at Milton Keynes Bowl. And guys just can't help themselves. It's like, you know, shut up, you child. But I would say if you were out, it would happen at least... I'd like to say every time you go out, there'd be something. But at least every other time you go out, honestly. Be it a look, a wolf whistle, actual a comment, you'd be horrified if somebody did that with your daughters. But they just don't seem to think. There's something not quite clicking in their heads. Bless them. That's why I don't think it should. I mean, America's clearly different than over here. But the law should be the same no matter what. Why would you be more offended at somebody of the same gender making a suggestion than somebody else? Just don't be offended by it. And then they're probably the same people that get offended when there's like a part of town that's gay friendly. So we in Manchester have the Gay Village and it's all covered in rainbows and it's a beautiful place. But they obviously feel safer there. And I'm not surprised when you see people reacting like that. Just something wrong with people. 21 inch. You can't be bothered trying to take the screen off. No, I wouldn't bother with a 21 inch. It's soldered on the board. Unfortunately. Banter seems to be an acceptable excuse for bullying. Well, it can turn into bullying, can't it? I heard a term the other day that I hadn't heard in relation to bullying before, but it's so spot on. It was referring to, like you're saying, banter, air quotes, but the banter was the kind of banter that was overstepping the mark, in my opinion. But it was the type of banter that you could say, I didn't mean anything by it. that kind of banter. And the word they used was microaggression. And I thought, that's it. There are things that are, that you know, trigger me with microaggression. I just find it, you know, that's inappropriate to say or do, you know, and I would never, ever dream of saying anything like that to anybody. But other people just don't seem to have that kind of stop mechanism. And then if they're pulled up on it, you are hypersensitive. It's your fault for being hypersensitive. And you can't say to them, well, you're being aggressive, because it's not aggressive, but it is a small aggression. So microaggression is a perfect phrase for it. And I just think people should wind their necks back in. It's like I said to Mike when we took over the running of a training group. I said, I'm not having anybody feel anything other than comfortable when they come there. And Mike said, well, why should they? I can't see anybody bullying anybody. I said, I'm just hypersensitive to it, so I'm going to keep my eye out. And yeah, it started. There was a lady who was very shy. I mean, she was a trainer, but she was very quiet, you know, to the point of being shy. And these two guys started the microaggression thing, where she's doing a presentation and they're asking questions. I mean, she was probably, would you say she went up to intermediate level, but she certainly didn't do advanced.
No.
They were deliberately asking questions that, you know, Mike would have struggled to answer about Excel. That's aggressive. It is in the circumstances. They knew very well what they were doing. So I actually took them on one side and I said, right, you can carry on doing exactly what you're doing if you like. But be warned, when it's your turn next month, I'm going to do to you what you're doing to her. So make your own mind up. And they just were like, okay. I said, and when you've finished at the end of this, I said, you can apologise as well. That's the way to be with it. You've got to nip it in the bud. But if there's nobody there that's brave enough to tackle somebody like that, because by definition, if they're being aggressive verbally, then they could get aggressive or they could tell you that you're hypersensitive. But pointing out to them that it was their turn to present next month and there was nothing that I wouldn't then ask them. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, why couldn't they see that at the beginning? Ah, just inappropriate. So inappropriate. Hello, Dee. Dee is in the house. Everybody is well, Dee, because it's 1985. Hmm. People get offended if Greg sells vegan food. I would have thought the vegans had more to complain about, because the meat pies are still in Greg's, irrespective of whether, you know, they're swearing blind to you that they've given you the vegan pie. It still lived with the other pies and the sausage rolls. Oh, good grief. Hello, Tracy. Exactly, Kim. It is. It's that simple. Be courteous to everybody and treat other people as you would like to be treated. Life is not difficult. It isn't. People just overcomplicate it. It was like yesterday with that match. I think I mentioned that Gary Lineker, who's one of our TV pundits, he's basically chief pundit, isn't he? Mm. He apologised on Twitter after they'd cut from the match. So the player's on the floor. You can clearly see what's going on with the player. And it was one of those things where you wanted to turn away and you couldn't stop watching because you were saying prayers. And the claim from the BBC was they were taking the pictures from UEFA and that they should not have panned that close to the player. So it was UEFA's fault. And I thought, but the point here is you are taking the feed from UEFA. So if a gunman had walked in and started just liberally shooting, would you have carried on, you know? So the people who, the broadcasters with the cameras, they'd shot the camera people, so the cameras are just running and can't be stopped. Wouldn't the BBC have stopped them? And I think they would. But in this circumstance, nobody in there said, just cut it. Just cut it and go back to the studio. Nobody at the BBC said that, which meant they had a snivelling apology to make later. Not only did he have to apologise, but so did the rest of them. Because there's a programme on the BBC News which is like complaints that come in. Well, there was more than enough complaints about that. And yes, you know, you watching it could turn it off, but you're just horrified and frozen looking. But the fact they had to put towels around him in the end is utterly ridiculous. Yeah. And I've seen players do that before. There was a very nasty incident at Old Trafford. What was that now? About 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Did he just land awkward? He did, didn't he? It wasn't a tackle.
Yeah.
It was a corner. And the ball came in and this player jumped up. He was a very tall guy and he jumped up to head the ball and then landed. And he landed awkwardly. And when I say awkwardly, it was the most horrific injury I'd ever seen. He broke his ankle, and was it his shin bone? But when he landed, if you can imagine like a leg, where below the knee was at right angles with the thigh, that was how bad it was. The goalkeeper at the time, Peter Schmeichel, just threw the ball out. You know, no messing about with it. It was the players that let the referee know how bad it was. So all the medical staff had to go on. And it wasn't just their medical staff, because it was the away team. It was Coventry. It wasn't just the away team. Our medical staff went on. The doctor went on. They were on there for about 15 to 20 minutes. And Peter Schmeichel was that bad with what he'd seen. He was stood holding the goalpost and was almost sick. And then when they'd got him off the pitch, he got a standing ovation, but I mean, we knew how serious it was. He could have lost his leg. It was that bad. They gets him to the local hospital. But Peter Schmeichel stood there and he's got the ball in his hand and you know, he's got to kick the ball back in. And he's looking at the thing and he can't do it. There's blood all over the pitch. So we then had to wait for another 10 minutes while somebody went to get half a dozen buckets of sand to throw over this thing because he was heaving. You could see him heaving. So, you know, you don't want that on your TV, do you, with children watching it? So somebody at the BBC should have done something. But no, they blamed UEFA. And, you know, I like to blame UEFA for a lot of things myself.
Mm.
And I think their coverage of that was diabolical. Before they knew it was that serious, they had a camera over the top. So if you can imagine, like, a free-form camera, like a drone, over the top of him, and that was... He could actually have gone by then. They've got no sense. They've got no sense. Okay. So is this game on now?
8 o'clock, isn't it?
8 o'clock kickoff, right. I thought it could have been 7:30, but no, it's going to be an 8 o'clock.
I think it's 8 o'clock.
But we're all shouting for Renee. Netherlands have got to win tonight. So Kim says, if I feel your line to my face, I'll pull every type of verbal aggression you can muster. Like the Homeowners Association, they lie to you all the time. That's what I take from Homeowner Association things. From what I've seen on the TV, because we don't really have that here, that's what I take from it. It's lots of microaggressions, isn't it? Because a bit like that woman near your flat. There was like a white wall outside each of the flats and it looked great in white. She decided she wanted hers what could only be described as like a diarrhea brown. And she came round and talk about aggressive. Oh, can't you afford the paint? We're like, no, we like it white. She was so aggressive.
That's because she was a car salesperson.
Oh, she knew all the things to push your buttons, but, you know, didn't cut any ice with us. But, yeah, that's the nearest we've had to a homeowner thing, so I can only imagine, Kim. Oh, dear. Anthony thought the TV companies had a kill switch for live events. If something happened, they could immediately cut it. We're experiencing technical difficulties. They should, Anthony. Absolutely. Like I said, I think there are things that could have happened yesterday where the BBC would have taken the decision, take it off air. But they didn't. Now, to what degree Gary Lineker could have said, cut to studio, I don't know. I would think he could. I mean, he's the most highly paid presenter on BBC, isn't he? So he must have some kind of clout. He could have just said, cut this to the studio, it's inappropriate. But he didn't. And neither did the BBC. But they must have a kill switch. They must do. I think they thought people would be glued to it, which they were. So they were quite right. And they could always apologise later. You know, but I mean, if he had died, well, they'd have had more than a few complaints. There'd have probably been an inquiry. But somebody needs to keep their finger on it because they could still take that feed and they could still record it. You know, and if later they deemed that it was appropriate to show it, but you don't know until it's gone out. I would also have thought there was like a 30-second delay on it. But maybe not. I don't know.
You know this iPad we're looking for?
Uh-huh.
For my mother?
Yeah.
Is it a 2020?
Probably will be now, won't it? Why?
because that's what it says on the John Lewis site.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't know if there was a 2021.
No, because the only iPads that have come out this year was the ones... Didn't they come out in October or November? Check the old events.
Yeah.
They were announced at one of those.
Yeah.
Right, let me get up here. Simon says, happens in all sports. A teenager was killed in MotoGP last week. How awful. Following week, one rider couldn't understand why people were appalled. He was riding around with his leathers half unzipped with the heat. Disrespectful to the safety rules in a week after somebody died. There are no words for people, are there? I mean, that is disrespectful, to be honest, of the guy that died. Dee says to Anthony, you assume the BBC can't control where the cameras are aimed, but they can still control what's going out to their audience, and they can still cut to the studio. They didn't have any control, Dee, not of that. UEFA were doing like a group broadcast. What did they call it? A pool broadcast. So their cameras are there, and you then take their feed. So if there is a problem with the UEFA feed, then every TV company has the problem with the feed. So UEFA decided what to do with that. They did take the decision to get rid of this robotic floating camera over the top of him. But they did take the decision to zoom in. And it was. You couldn't look away because it was just so horrific. And you were thinking, I've never seen that. In all the years I've watched football, I've never seen... Well, apart from Moamba. And we didn't see that because they did... I don't know. Who was there that day? Have a look, Mike. Who was providing the coverage for that? That could well have been the BBC. And they cut away. They didn't even show a long shot. They cut to the crowd. And he was on that pitch for 78 minutes while they dealt with him. Just horrific, but they didn't show it. And they cut away to the studio not long after that. But the BBC, no, they had no control, but they did not take the decision to cut that. And I think that they should have done. But that's just my opinion, isn't it? The firing of employees, things they say will take care of and then don't. Money to be spent, the list goes on. I don't know enough about them, Kim, but from what I've seen, it's not a fun thing to have to deal with. Let's put it like that. Dee feels like Jonathan. It's hot, Dee, just as it was in 85. So that's why. And Tracy's done a 17k cycle ride in the blazing heat. You need to lie down as well and have some water. The BBC are having a bit of a bad run. Yeah, they're in trouble a lot, aren't they, Tony? It's not one thing, it's another. But I think from now on, they'll be very, very careful with players that are injured. That happened today, actually, in the England match. Harry Kane was running forward. He missed the goal, but he couldn't stop himself. And he headed straight for the post and cracked himself on the post. And I said to Mike, oh, my God, you know, I hope that's not that serious. Because he actually ran into the post and it hit his chest just where his heart would be. And they had to check that he hadn't broken ribs, etc. So he's lying there, and you could have dragged him off the pitch. There was probably like 6 inches of his left foot on the pitch. And normally they just carry on playing. You know, it's like, oh, he's off the pitch, not to worry. But today they were a little bit more respectful because he went down like a sack of potatoes, as we say here. So he wasn't moving. So the medical staff flew on. And they did actually manage to get him up and that, but in the end he did have to go off because he did crack himself very badly. You know, and a thump on the chest could stop your heart. As well as it can start it, could stop it. And I just thought, not again. But he was actually okay. But they cut away from it. And the game didn't go on as fast as it would normally have done. Now, the referee can add that injury time on at the end, but it was noticeable that it was like, I'm going to check he's all right before we carry on. Which doesn't happen. A few World Cups ago, was it Seoul and... Which was the World Cup that had two hosts?
Yeah, Seoul and...
Was it Korea? South Korea?
Was it Japan? Can't remember.
Well, it had two hosts. And they brought on these little buggies. And whenever a player went down, you know, even if they could walk, they had to sit on this buggy and be driven off the pitch. It was ridiculous. So I said to Mike, you know, where's the buggy when you need it? Tell these two players that couldn't move. But they've not got buggies this year. Oh, dear. Right, let's catch up here. Oh, Prime. It's Prime Day. Not tomorrow. She's 21st, 22nd of June. So a week tomorrow in the UK. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Dee says, you remember in America they had news filming some police situation where the criminal was driving in a car and the guy finally gets out with a gun and you hear the news presenter saying, get off it, but they were too late. And footage of the man shooting himself in the head went out. Oh, for crying out loud. Didn't that happen with the actual presenters on one? It was a lady and a cameraman. I don't know if there was a sound person as well. But they were taking it live and then the camera dropped to the floor and there was the sounds of like gunshots. And an ex-employee had come in and shot the presenter and the cameraman live on air. You just can't compute stuff like that.
Yeah.
Good few years ago now, but I do remember that. And he had been an employee and he felt that she was getting preference over him. And that's why. Oh, that does sound like O.J. Simpson as well.
Yeah, Kim's just mentioned that.
Yeah, they were chasing him, weren't they?
Alipay, the official payment partner of UEFA Euro 2020.
It reminded me of that AliExpress. I don't know if it's involved. Oh dear. You're 4 minutes off the game. 4 minutes off the game. We're having more adverts here because it's on ITV, so you'll have wall-to-wall adverts before, sometimes during, and definitely after. Renee is in no way a football fan, but the Euro's good to watch. It is. We've now got the national anthem. Yay, we've got the national anthem. You ready? I'm getting feedback on that, but we do have the national anthem. So, don't know the words, but we'll listen along. Entire villages that are colouring orange. I just love your orange. I really love your orange. It's so iconic. We play in white, which is a bit bland to start with. We also have red strips. And is the third one a blue one?
Don't know.
I think we've had a blue one before. You know, obviously red, white and blue, but the orange is just iconic. Oh, we're going for more adverts now. What is wrong with these things? They're putting adverts between the national anthems. Mm. How desperate are they for revenue? And I make a mental note of those that advertise on this thing, and I make a mental note never to use their services because you're interrupting. Having said that, that's a good one to see. There's a Just Eat advert, and Eric Cantona's on it. So I'll make an exception for them, for letting me see Eric. I'll make an exception. Well, I did that with the Paralympics in, I think it was 2012. The main Olympics had been covered on the BBC, no adverts. The Paralympics came on and they were actually interrupting the sport to put adverts on. And while the ads were on, at the bottom of the screen, they were saying, like, they were putting the scores up. And I said, why are we watching an ad? You know, by all means, put ads on, but not actually when the sport's on. So I was making a mental note of everybody who advertised. And then on Twitter, I'm like, you know, I will never buy your product because it probably did no good. But there you go. Good night to you, Tony. We're heading off ourselves shortly. Right, let's have a look there. Oh, those pictures are fantastic, Renee. Oh, I would love to. I've got to go and I've got to see this. That's amazing. If we put a Union Jack up here, we'll probably get arrested. But that's fabulous. I'm loving the houses that are orange as well. And the dog. That is brilliant. I always think your flag should have orange in it. And then you see it and it's like, no, it doesn't. Strange, as far as I'm concerned, it should be orange. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. Right. The King and Queen singing the National Anthem. I spotted them. Is that the King and Queen? I had no idea who that was. Oh, I'm loving the flags as well. Some people have got scarves and flags wishing Christian Eriksen well, which is lovely. And they've even got shirts on with Eriksen on. Fantastic. Okay, then, we're going to head off. Anthony says, when the ITV4 covered the Tour de Yorkshire, they had ads. You're watching, waiting to see them come through your village and they cut to an ad just before they got to you. That's what I mean. ITV do not deserve coverage. At least if you're going to put an ad on like that, then go back or put the ads at the bottom, you know, where you can still see it. It's not on. It is not on. Right. Okay. I did not know that, Dee. Obviously, I know the Irish tricolour, but I did not know that. Now I do. Right. Okay, then. We are wrapping up the week. We're going off and we're going to watch the match. And yes, we will be shouting for the Netherlands. So I wish you well tonight and a great victory, I am hoping, Renee. Whether you enjoy the football or not, it's a lovely community spirit-based thing, isn't it? Okay, so I will say good night from me.
And good night from me.
We will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys, and enjoy the game.